Welcome to the Friday edition of Truth Be Told, Part 2 today. I am Captain Ron, with me is Tony Sweet, and today we're going to be talking to the organizers of the International UFO Congress. It's an event that started back in 1991. This event has over 20 speakers. It's a film festival. It's got experience sessions, tons of related vendors. It's an amazing event. It's coming up in just a couple weeks. It's September 4th through 8th in Phoenix, Arizona. Joining us today from Phoenix, Arizona will be Karen Bernard, as well as she was a member of the Phoenix chapter of MUFON, as well as being the owner of the UFO Congress. Joining her is Alejandro Rojas. We all know who he is. He's the official spokesperson for MUFON and the director of public education back in the day. And he is now currently and still the master of ceremonies for the UFO Congress. He's the editor and contributing writer to Open Minds TV. He's got his own podcast on there. He's a writer for Huffington Post. We've seen him on tons of outlets, various documentaries, TV shows, anything about science, space, and UFOs, you can find Alejandro. In fact, we just had two gentlemen on 4 minutes ago, John Seville and Jack Roth from Extraordinary the Seating. We screened this film last night, and Alejandro's in that movie.
He's a star.
Welcome to the show, guys.
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you guys?
The crowds are going wild.
Yeah, how about you were just in the movie we just had to watch for the previous guests?
Yeah, oh my gosh, I'm in so many movies I can't count. Just kidding. I love those guys. I've known them for several years, and I helped them with their first project. I helped them actually even become aware of their first project, but they're great. They're really cool guys, so it's always fun to work with them.
So why don't we just start real quick and just ask you one question, and then we'll get into you guys. What is your stance? Because it seems like you didn't necessarily embrace the alien abduction phenomenon. What is your position on that? You've been at this a long time, Alejandro. You've looked at a lot of the evidence. Where do you sit today?
I've talked to a lot of people, and you know, it was one thing. I began in this pretty nuts and bolts. I became a MUFON field investigator way back in the day, and in order to talk to people who had seen stuff and to kind of get an idea, okay, I've read so much, I've done all the research, now let's talk to people who are seeing stuff. And and I guess just because I try to remain open and you know, not be judgmental with witnesses, I started talking to a lot of witnesses who claimed to have abduction experiences, and most of them were very credible people. So it was strange. I at first really, at least, you know, in my thought processes, wasn't ready to go there, but I had these witnesses comfortable with speaking with me. I also knew Dr. Leo Sprinkle, who was in Cheyenne. I was in Denver. So I loved working with him being a professor and a PhD. So I started taking these people to him. And I think these people they believe what they're experiencing. They believe they're having these experiences. They are traumatic and they are affecting their lives, and which is important. You know, a lot of people don't realize mental issue or a trauma is not really kind of clinical or an issue until it affects your lives and your ability to function. And in this case, sometimes it was. What I loved about Dr. Sprinkle was that he was able to help people become comfortable with whatever emotional issues they were having tied to these experiences. And I felt that was important. Then they could move on with their lives and everybody kind of felt happier. But it didn't bring me to, you know, whether or not these are real. And so I've kind of grappled with this back and forth. Of course, John Mack, I was into his research. John Mack did not believe this to be a physical phenomena, but he believed it to be, you know, the response that a third party of some sort was involved. I eventually even got my own certificate. I learned how to do hypnosis, and I found that I already had taught meditation and did these guided meditations, which a lot of hypnosis is about. But what I found was it was amazing the fantasies you can have the mind elicit very easily. And in hypnotherapy, you're doing this in order to help people get past emotional issues. So it's kind of like dreams. A lot of what's going on in our brain is kind of a manifestation of our emotions rather than real events. So I don't know. I think that because there are so many people that feel that they have this happening to them, and I don't think people realize it's in the hundreds of thousands, and many of these are very credible people, that it's an area I think that needs to be studied further. I've been involved, or at least have read up on some of the most credible studies, but unfortunately, they're very far from where they need to be as far as figuring out the nature of what's going on here. So I think it is something that really the mainstream science, everybody should be paying attention to as to what it is. I'm not convinced it's aliens. I'm not convinced necessarily it's even physical. I haven't seen the evidence. I don't think we have enough evidence to say that. But it's a real phenomena. And of course, if there is a third party involved, that's extraordinary.
Karen, do you have an opinion on this?
Oh, yeah. I on the other hand, actually have a talk on abductions. It's actually the multiple people involved kind are the ones that really intrigue me and really, to me, give me, you know, the proof that I need that this is actually happening. And this was back in the day, back in the 70s. We had the Travis Walton incident. We had the Allagash. We had one that was studied by Walter Webb, and he wrote a book called Incident at Buff Ledge in Vermont near like on Lake Champlain. These were both, these were all sightings where there was multiple people involved, and they all described the same things. And this had not been in the mainstream media or movies or anywhere. There was no internet. And these people reported later on, you know, they started having bad dreams, went to doctors, got hypnotized, and all these things, these bad dreams started coming out, these stories, and they're all the same. Also in California, I want to say Cucamonga, but mountains, but that's not right. The one by Andruffel. What's that?
What?
Anyway, there's they were multiple abductions,
Topanga.
Multiple people, Topanga Canyon.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All around the same time and very, very similar. The things that they were experiencing, they were drawn up through a light. They were able to pass through doors and solid, you know, walls, and then taken up, studied, same kind of tables, same kind of lighting, same kind of beings, and then put back down. And this was all within, you know, 5 years of each other, all these sightings. So I think there was something going on then for sure. Beings were coming here and studying us. That's what I think happened.
Well, we're going to have a steel cage death match at the end of this. So
okay.
Let you two battle it out.
There are great cases like Travis Walton's or like the Allagash guys, and they certainly experienced something. But what? I mean, even in those cases, it could be something from the future. So it's hard to say, I think.
Could be even that. I mean, see, that's so unknown. It's so hard to know. Mm-hmm. Karen, you actually produced the Travis Walton 40th anniversary, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
His event.
Surprisingly enough, it was like my dry run, or actually not my dry run, but like a preparation for the Congress.
First go.
Had no idea that, you know, eventually this would happen. But Travis, they had the first conference and had a lot of bumps in the road there and needed a lot of help. So I just said, hey, do you need some help? And he was like, yes, please do this conference for me. So
awesome.
I just took it over. And luckily at the time I had the time, wasn't working. So I had plenty of time to do it, and it came off and it was a success. So
was last year your first UFO Congress that you owned it?
It was, yeah.
How'd that go for you?
That was a lot of work, a lot of stress, but it came out fine. It was, everybody said it was a great success. I hardly remember it. It was a blur to me.
Right, it's like a wedding.
I was constantly running around the whole entire time. But
Yeah,
after about 3 days of rest afterward, I recovered.
So. And did the master of ceremony give you a hard time last year?
Yeah.
He did?
No.
Yeah.
He was great. But I mean,
I am really good.
Yeah.
I'm a good employee. Well, I'm a fairly good employee. She might not agree with that. But mostly what was funny about it is, you know, I had because it was owned by Open Minds. So I went from one boss.
Oh, you're kidding. So you sold it to her.
No, I didn't. I don't own Open Minds. Someone else does.
Oh, I see.
And so I was still an employee. But then she bought it, and everybody assumes that I then have more input than I used to have. And
you have less.
No, you know, I have a new boss who wants to, well, and it's her conference. So rightfully so, she wants to have a lot more input.
That's great.
You know, it benefits. Look, I am really proud, especially like this year. She, we've always tried to put a focus on having more women involved with all of this. And this year, you know, our conference has a higher percentage of women than practically any conference out there. And I think that's great because I tried to do that, but she's done a much better job of that.
I was going to ask, if you look back and, you know, in the ufology history, the most of it was run by men. And
everything's
yeah, and Linda and a few others that really was trailblazers, and now they're really getting involved, and I think it brings a new look onto ufology, where
we can't forget there were some pioneers like Ann Druffel, which we got our researcher or the Lifetime Achievement Award last year. Jenny Randles,
thank you for telling
out there. You just have to do your research. And
yeah, she's straight out. It's like she's owned this thing for 20 years. I know, right? But I mean, it's good that we need to know those things. And, I think, you know, a lot of those ladies that have made a huge difference just as much as anybody else. So thank you.
And then currently MUFON has many, many women involved.
Right. I love it.
Well, that's one thing we've done. We always do the awards. We have the Lifetime Achievement and the Researcher of the Year Award at the conference every year. And we really did, because I felt that the women involved with this field were not being recognized as much as they should have.
Right.
And so we did focus on that the last few years. So I'm at least we were able to do that.
Well, I think it's because, you know, men came home from work and then they got to go do their hobbies while the women got home from work and had to clean house and cook. They don't have time to read books,
right?
Write books and stuff. But
Tony and I just went to the 50th anniversary of MUFON, and there were a lot of ladies that were helping us out, and they were part of the thing there, which was fantastic.
Yeah, running most of the thing.
I mean, there's state directors and state directors that are women. They basically run the conference and the office and all the real running of MUFON.
Like Linda, I don't know if her last name was Zukowski, but that's her maiden name, and Marquetta, who runs. Practically runs MUFON, and Debbie Ziegelmeyer, one of the board members. So yeah, lots of great contributors.
So let's talk about this year's UFO Congress. The guest list is fantastic, of course. Every one of these people, most of these people have been on our show, actually, and it's really great. You got a great lineup here.
Thank you. We agree.
It's really exciting.
And just now I was looking through the pictures and going through the schedule, because we have it practically all solidified. And in fact, you're going through the speakers list there, and that's finalized what you're seeing there. And it's only finalized as of today, actually.
I say this has changed since I looked it up. Definitely.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. But I mean, look at that list. That is a great those speakers are great. And those speakers that people see there and they're like, who the heck is that? I've never seen this person before. If you look up who that is, you know, they all have something really cool to contribute. So that our speaker lineup this year is incredible.
Yeah. And if you haven't looked in the last couple of days, you might notice a couple new things. Brian Bender from Politico, the defense writer, editor, he played a part on Unidentified, reporting how he uncovered the story. And
he participated. He was playing himself.
Well, yeah. And he actually lives here in Phoenix part-time. And
perfect.
Talked to him about being part of a panel, and so he agreed, and so that's just been added.
That's fantastic. Yeah, a lot of these, like, you know, obviously the A-list guys like Richard Dolan, David Hatcher-Childers, we all know who these guys are. But like you just mentioned, this happened to me. I to be honest, didn't really know who Terry Lovelace was. I know he was a contact, but I don't really know his story. He's got a classic, great, typical UFO story, you know?
That's right.
And these are the kind of events that you stumble across that, and wow, here there's a name I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, he just recently published a book, and because he waited all his career to talk. He was an attorney, so he had to kind of keep that under wraps. But now that he's not doing that anymore, he was like, I'm ready.
And that's perfect. That's why we don't know his name. His event was in 1977. Mm-hmm. And
another one right in that time frame.
It was kind of funny. He just showed up at Roswell. I've been speaking at Roswell for a very long time. And we were there this year, and he just kind of showed up. And he got lucky. I don't know what happened. I hope it wasn't because Stan Friedman was there, but somehow they had a space open up and they asked him, do you want to talk? And
he did. That's probably how. Yeah.
And it worked out really well. So he got lucky there, but that was the first time we got to meet him in person, and super, super nice guy.
Yeah.
Oh, is that how you guys ended up booking him at the Congress?
We had him booked prior to
Okay.
Yeah. He actually reached out to us and, you know, so I researched it and I thought, this is a good story. And
he was on Martin Willits' podcast too, as a friend of ours. So we asked Martin, and Martin said, oh yeah, people loved him. He was great. So
I was going to ask you how you picked the people, because like you said, there's a few that we haven't heard of, and we've been doing this, you know, for several years, like 5 years now. And when you get these requests, I mean, you definitely have to do the research, because you don't want to just put anybody. So how...
Yeah.
How
in
lengthy?
The past, fortunately, because of the podcast, I'm always looking for new and different people to talk to, like you all.
Right.
But then also, you know, Open Minds, we typically cover, we used to cover daily UFO news, so we would find people that way. But so that's how I find people. And I look for new and interesting people are different that people don't know about or aren't out on the scene. But Karen also does her own research to find people that I'm unaware of also as well.
I search YouTube and just see and read, you know, kind of type in different things, Google things, see what comes up. And like Lisa Tenney, that's how I found her. I thought her story was really great, and she's a really sweet, nice person too, and I think people are really going to enjoy it.
Karen, here's a tip. This is what I do. I go to Open Minds TV and I listen to Alejandro's show. And he's got all these great guests on, and he asks these great questions. I thought, well, that's an idea.
Well, you know, with the Travis Walton's conference, I think that I always like to talk about this. Karen did a remarkable job. In fact, the best job of any researcher in finding prior witnesses. She really got out there, started making phone calls. She got to the sheriff, you know, played by James Gardner on the television show, related to the Travis Walton experience. And, she
in Fire in the Sky.
I got to talk to him before he passed away,
and
shortly
then tell
afterward.
The story, what happened?
I was just trying. Well, I kept reading about the Travis Walton thing, and there was always one person. Chuck was the first officer on the scene, and I was like, Chuck Ellison, who is, you know, Officer Ellison. How come I don't read anything about him anywhere else? Except, I mean, I read about him, but I haven't heard of him. I'm like, I wonder if he's still around. So I just started digging, and I got a hold of Martin Gillespie, the sheriff, and I talked to him. I said, you know, do you still keep in touch with him? And he said, you know, as a matter of fact, like a year ago, he called me and we talked for a while, and I think I could probably find his number. So I said, great. So he called me back a couple of weeks later, and he said, I got the phone number for you. So, got my courage up, and I called, and I was like, hi, you don't know me, but you were the first officer on the scene after the Travis Walton disappearance. Is that right? And he was like, yeah, that was me. And he was just this great, fun guy. And I said, well, I'm having this 40th anniversary conference, and we'd really like it if you could come and, you know, talk about what you experienced and what, you know, your story. And he was like, you know, I've been thinking about going out there and visiting, going back and visiting, because he's living in Arkansas now. And I said, oh, really, when were you planning? And he was like, November 4th through something. And I'm like, okay, this is weird, because that's exactly when we're having the conference.
Synchronicity, man.
And then he said, and he goes, yeah, and I stay over at that Bison Ranch place. And I'm like, are you kidding me? That's exactly where we're having the conference, right there. And it was like,
that is synchronicity by definition.
Yeah. So I said, well, you know, we really like to, you know, have you come, and, you know, you wouldn't even have to pay for anything, pay to have you out. And unfortunately, right before he came out, he fell out of a tree. He's like an 80-year-old guy cutting trees, and he fell, and he broke his ribs. But he still got in a car and drove like 16, I don't even know how many hours, and he came out and he made it. He was in a lot of pain, but he made it.
What a great find that is. I love that story. That's an awesome find, Karen. That's really great. See, those are the key people. Like the Roswell story, we always talk about this. It's these ancillary little guys around Roswell that make it so interesting, because it supports the story. Mm-hmm. That's the fascinating part to me.
Yeah. And I mean, you know, he had stories, his wife had stories, because back in the day, they were, it's such a big area, and they were the only, I guess he was a sheriff, or I'm not sure exactly what his title was, but the calls, any calls went to his personal phone. So they would go in his house. So like even the kids and the mom would answer the phone. And so they were all involved in it too. And one thing that people don't know, that Chuck said a few weeks after that, somebody from the government came and he took him out and showed him the area. He said, I don't know who that was. I didn't write anything down. I don't have any records of it, but he, you know, they came out there and he took him out there. So that's another thing that no one has knew about before.
I love that you can uncover a little piece like that. That is awesome. You're adding to the whole thing.
Yeah. Another important piece was the sheriff too, because he did end up passing, and his wife Gillespie, you know, and of course in the movie, he's the big skeptic, James Garner is, but in real life he wasn't. And in fact, his wife sent Karen an email, or was it a call?
Yeah. Cause I, you know, a couple years after, or maybe about a year, I wrote her an email. I said, hey, would he be interested in coming to the conference? And she said, unfortunately he passed away, but he was, you know, very glad that you had contacted him and you got in contact with Chuck, and that it was a very interesting part of their life. And it wasn't a, you know, a negative thing of their life, but
yeah, it's such a shame how the Travis Walton story, like every time we talk to Travis, he, you know, he, the fire in the sky thing is not the real story. And in my view of life, his story right off the deck, exactly what happened, is as fascinating as it needs to be. I don't know why they have to change all these things.
So much
and this guy's
so,
got to be, his story's better than this nonsense they were selling.
I really hope that they redo that.
I know they keep, he keeps talking about it. They, you know, it's so hard, but I really wish they would, because it's fascinating enough on its own. Most of these stories are, the more they sensationalize it and muck it up, it's not as strong.
Yeah,
it's not enough that this happened. Oh my God!
I know exactly.
And I've been lucky enough to talk to all the living witnesses, so
oh, great.
I know their stories too. And that's why I can't deny that this happened to them. This was a real thing. It didn't just happen to Travis. It happened to these other guys too, especially Ken Peterson. Yeah. It still affects him. And
wow.
Luckily, we're still in touch, and he's sending me some writings that he's doing, and there might be something that we can put together with that someday.
Oh, that's great!
He's really into synchronicities, like. He thinks still to this day, you know, that whatever happened, there's a reason, and it's led to all these synchronicities in his life. And he's, you know, we're kind of putting together something with.
Now
that.
You're talking to a guy who every single show it comes up.
Synchronicity.
That is my favorite aspect of all of these paranormal topics we talk about is synchronicity.
Yeah.
Because they happen to me personally.
The fact that I'm involved in this is complete synchronicity also.
It is. It's crazy.
I saw a news article, then I went on the internet and I didn't even know that before 2011 there was such a thing as UFO conferences. I had no idea. I was married, raising kids, and I saw this news conference, got on the internet, somehow found out that there was this conference in my own city in a couple months. So I went to the UFO conference, you know, the International UFO Congress in February of 2011. And I actually I talked to a few people, didn't know a single soul, was there all day long taking notes. Met Richard Dolan. So he was like a very sane person. I thought this is, you know,
that's the right one to start with. He's awesome.
Yeah. And then also John Alexander, because I had just read his book, and Leslie Kane, and I had just read her book. So they were all there. And I was like, this is amazing. So I got to talk to all of them. But then a few months later, Richard Dolan was going to be at the Phoenix MUFON. I went to the meeting. I hadn't been before, didn't know anybody. Something told me I was going to win this raffle that was breakfast with the speaker, bought the raffle ticket, won. So I got to go to breakfast with the speaker and Phoenix MUFON state directors, became best friends with Stacy MUFON or Stacy Wright, who's the head of Phoenix MUFON. And from there led to meeting all sorts of people. And led me.
And now you own the very first conference you went to.
That's hilarious.
And now I own that. I own the conference. It's so bizarre.
It is crazy. What drove you there, Karen? Did you have a experience yourself that made you look into this, or did you just have a curiosity?
I've always been interested in UFOs and ghosts and all that kind of stuff. I read books my whole life, even though my family thought it was crazy. and then I saw a news segment on the Dome of the Rock UFO, which, you know, I guess it's not real, but it looks amazing. And there was like three different, you know, people had the same shot from different angles. So I thought it was really intriguing. That's how I got on the internet and started going crazy. Like some people do when they get into the subject. I read something like 120 books in 1 year. It was just going to the library.
I don't think I've read 120 books, Tony. Let alone in a year.
A few pamphlets or something.
Good for you. That's awesome. What a great story. I love that the synchronicity things came into your life that way. Alejandro, I've never asked you if you've ever had a personal experience of any kind.
I have, but nothing too exciting, I guess. I didn't get into this from a sighting, which a lot of people do. And I hadn't had a sighting until many years after being into all of this and being a MUFON field investigator and all of that. Funny enough, you know, and it was just there's articles that pop up on this, even in some of the larger networks, about this place in Colorado in the San Luis Valley called the UFO Watchtower. And that's where I had my first UFO sighting. It was a light, well, several lights that were off in the distance, kind of moving at a steady pace, kind of like a satellite, but that had some characteristics that were strange. And most of my sightings, of which I think I've only had three, maybe four, well, now that I think about it, maybe five, were of that nature.
Okay, scratch that. Yeah. He's had lots of sightings.
None of them, they were always something off in the distance, but each of them was interesting in their own way, I suppose.
Because yeah, I
had kind of those little kind of sightings, but like nothing compared to abductions or
when we're
like
hearing
that.
From you know our buddy Travis Walton or
sure.
even our so buddy Ben Hansen had one a couple years ago that was pretty impressive. So
his stuff with the goggles is so fun, isn't it?
Yeah,
the way he looks at the sky.
Yeah. I did have a good night vision one too. This one's probably my favorite. So we're out with Phoenix MUFON. The Navajo Rangers. I don't know if you've had them on.
No.
John and I can't remember.
John Dover and
I can't remember the other guy's name. But
Stan.
Anyway, Stan. So we're out with them, and they brought their night vision. They only had two pairs. This was their pair that they use when they're out doing their thing. And John and I had them. I looked up. I was looking through the sky, and I saw these five objects. And they were just, they seemed like they were all together, but they were all moving apart, like at a slow, steady pace. And I said, does anybody else see this? I noticed John had hit the night vision. He said, yeah, I see it. And he was trained on it too. So we both watched these things and they just continued at a slow, steady pace. But they started a kind of a synchronistic thing too. I happened to catch it when they're together and started moving apart. So that was really weird. I still can't explain that one to this day.
Apparently, I was there, but I didn't have the goggles on.
She was there, and at first, she was like, "I was like, does anybody see this without the?" Said, "Yeah, I think I do," but
well,
then
I said,
she admitted,
"I do."
Don't.
And
I don't
like,
think I did.
Maybe not.
Because oftentimes, people get driven to this by a personal experience, whatever it may be. Tony has had a sighting, but he was so little. That's not why you're doing this. Me and him both
just
have an interest.
Fascinating, so.
We just find it interesting.
Yeah. So and you haven't had a sighting?
I haven't seen anything, but I'm open to all of these things, and I research the hell out of it as if it happened to me. I waste more time reading about this nonsense than one should.
Well, you got to get outside and look at the sky.
Yeah, that's what they say. Look up, and you'll see something. Yeah. So
if
what's going to go on with this raid now on September 20th? They're talking about raiding Area 51. What do you think? What kind of a mess do you think that's going to be?
So I'm working on my story, but did you win?
Oh, I'm going to say, well, it could be a huge mess if people don't listen. But, I mean, apparently the roads that you can usually get to the sign, those are going to be closed.
Right.
Anyway. So there's a couple different groups kind of planning things and hopefully, if they stay around the facilities, people will be fine. And hopefully people don't actually, go off-roading and try to drive up there. I don't know. I think it'll be a mistake if they do.
It's crazy how this thing's unfolded. Now, the people of Rachel are all freaking out because they're going to have like this festival there all of a sudden. This is becoming an impromptu festival they're going to have in Rachel. And not everybody wants it to happen. So I think it's
going
to be a mess.
I've written one story and I'm writing a second on that one. And it's essentially called, Storm Area 51 co-opted by partiers and activists.
Right.
And that's kind of what happened. Because, this thing wasn't meant to be even a real event.
Right. It was a throwaway line. It was a joke.
Yeah, it's by a guy who essentially he uses a different word, but smack posting is what he calls it, where he posts goofy stuff where he's being kind of a bonehead. But funny. It's funny stuff.
Yeah.
So, that's what's interesting. But all of these opportunities have really jumped in. So I've heard from the people who put together Coachella, and they're trying to put together this big Coachella-like festival. I think they think that these million people are going to show up. Is having something. Like you said, that's all in the Rachel area, and they are upset. They're not happy about this. They're saying, don't do this. If you're going to come out here, go to the Alien Research Center, which is doing their own thing kind of down the a couple miles away. Now, that one, from what I understand, is actually coordinating with law enforcement, because some of the things, like, you know, the Rachel Nevada website talks about are really important. The safety concerns. There's no water out there. There's no gas for many, many miles.
Bathrooms, nothing.
Yeah, 20 miles. So luckily, people are putting some stuff together. And in fact, you know, one of our speakers, and I think I could at least share this much, Jeremy Corbell, who's really, it's his movie that inspired this whole thing.
Sure, because he did Mr. Area 51.
Yeah, he did the Bob Lazar,
yeah.
And it was actually when Bob Lazar and he went to promote the movie on Joe Rogan that this kid who started the whole thing got inspired to do it. So he's working closer to the Alien Research Center, and they're going to put together a safe, free event. All these other events are going to cost a lot of money. They're going to put together something that is safe and free. But the problem is, you know, as far as even transportation, there's only, you know, these two-lane highways out there.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting.
It's going to be a mess.
I don't know. I'm pretty tempted to go out and see what happens.
Yeah, we've been thinking about it, too. And it's like, yeah, I'll tell you one thing that's really interesting about this, though, is think about this. You know, it seems like this, we're sort of in a shadow little community that's not in the mainstream. But here, some guy made an offhanded joke online,
and headline
and
news.
2 million people want to show up.
Yeah, headline news. Yeah.
That shows you there's an interest in this.
Yeah, well, and definitely an interest in the subject. And who knows if they're actually going to show up. But if they do, hopefully it doesn't turn into, you know, Fire Festival Part 2.
And that's kind of the danger. Is that's what's getting lost, is most of the people interested actually want to know more information. And some of these people are so emotional and passionate about the topic that they may want to risk their lives by passing through the gate. So we'll see what happens. There's a lot of the organizers for these events. They're definitely saying, you know, everybody's unanimous. Don't go past the gate. So hopefully there'll be enough, you know, people there to keep anybody from doing that. But if they do, this is another story I had written. You can see this on Open Minds or other places. You know, typically what happens is you get detained, usually laying face down in the dirt for anywhere between an hour to 3 hours till the local police get there and haul you off. Most people are then fined and let go. There was one situation where a mentally ill person ran around. He had something in his hand. It looked like he was pretending like, you know, he was going to shoot, and he got shot. But that was the one-off situation.
Wow. We may send Tony up there to see if he can't get detained. Yeah. Face down in the dirt. I like that. I
think with the winter coat on, I'm sure.
In an alien outfit.
There you go.
You can pretend like, you know, right. You can run up to a group of partiers and say, I just got out.
Right.
Help me.
Help.
Right. I'll do it.
I wouldn't be surprised.
I'll take one for the team.
The people that are going to go do this are going to be these crazy people dressed in costumes this crazy stuff. It's going to be like Coachella, only...
Yeah,
you know,
they're going to be high on who knows what.
Unbelievable.
That's what somebody in the chat room said. It's going to be a feast of LSD and ayahuasca.
Yeah, that's what's
going to
go.
Everybody's going to see aliens.
Right,
and
right.
Sure,
and Bigfoot and Nessie walking around in the desert out there.
Was that Karen?
Oh, I was just saying, I'm sure, just to be safe, they're probably stepping up their security and they're ready anything.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, you know, I kind of pondered the other day with Alejandro, what if like a bunch of people get kind of semi-organized and with Humvees or something and then just go, you know, all in a line, just go off-road and do it. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know.
Yeah, I haven't heard any talk of that. I think everybody else really is just going to party.
I don't know to see what everybody else is going to do, but nobody really has any plans.
An excuse to party. And those who are serious might get there. They see the party going on and get caught up in the partying and then forget.
Like, why are we here?
Karen tweeted out that UFO Congress North, she was calling it. So she's thinking.
Right.
an additional festival. Right.
I mean, hopefully it doesn't go badly and people bring weapons and things like that. But...
Oh, God, I hope not.
But yeah, that's one thing you'll hear from Jeremy. You'll hear the latest on all the safe stuff that's going on. And Jeremy's focused on also getting back to the issue. And the issue is we want to know more about this topic. We want information that is not being shared with the public to be shared with the public. And that's going to be the focus of the event that they're organizing.
Hey, you know, I just thought of something. So if there are aliens watching us and they see this happening, maybe they'll come down. That is the moment that they'll come down and say, okay, we're here. Don't do anything. Yeah, you know, don't get in any trouble here.
Well, let me ask you this, Karen. Do you think there are aliens watching us?
I mean, I think that there have been aliens that visited us. I think that's who was doing the abductions, these creatures, whatever you want to call them. Are they constantly monitoring us? I don't know. They might have been here and took off and we're like, eh, we're done with that.
Yeah, I'm firmly in the school of David Jacobs saying that, you know, they're clandestine for a reason. It's their agenda, not ours. They're not going to announce to us because they don't care. They're going to do it their way for their reasons.
Yeah.
I think that's a great point. Everybody's always, we need disclosure. We need disclosure. The government needs to tell us. Well, there's a more capable third party here. There's, you know, what you want them to reveal is that someone else is here. Well, that someone else is even more capable than the government to make their presence known. And they're not. So, you know, there's more than one party involved here.
They could make that happen like this if they wanted to.
Exactly. Exactly.
So maybe we're better off not knowing right now.
right.
Or who knows? Yeah, that could be the case. Or just like we might do, attempt to observe without affecting as much as possible. You know, the whole prime directive idea.
Right.
But what does make sense is that, you know, whatever their motives or methods are, it doesn't necessarily mean that we would understand or be able to detect them. And that, I think that's one place where SETI's got it completely wrong. They pretend like, oh, why would they do this? Well, you don't know why they would do that. You're not an alien. You don't have an alien.
This is so well put, Alejandro. That's exactly on the nose. We've had with Seth on here, and he says that we can't even begin to comprehend what they're doing, why they're doing it, or whatever. And there's no way for us to be able to comprehend that.
That's like asking people in Los Angeles what they think what's really going on in the South. I mean, and vice versa. I mean, we can't even understand each other. How in the hell we think we're going to know what an alien is?
I mean, go to Walmart and then try to figure out why everybody's doing what they're doing. You're going to see several incidents at any given time at Walmart where you're going to go, why the hell did they do that?
And why did they wear that?
Why did they wear that especially? And you're never going to be able to figure it out.
That's right.
All right, guys. So where should we send everyone to? UFOCongress.com. It's September 4th through 8th in Phoenix. Okay. What other details you got for us?
Well, I mean, if you're in the area or if you want to come a little early, you can also be a judge for the film festival.
Oh, yeah.
It's on Tuesday. It's an
amazing film.
Grueling 12 hours of watching films. But then you get to be in control of deciding who
but they're really
who wins
good
the award.
Ones.
And they're also all UFO based, correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
Some of them, the minority of them, only a few are fiction. The rest of them are documentary types. But we've got them listed at the film festival and we just got these listed. But they are really, really good. Jeremy has a couple. The guys you were just interviewing.
Yeah, the seating.
Yep. And then UFO TV, Tim Crawford. He's got a couple films in there. That one of them he's done with Ted Peters. And I think the other one he did with Richard Dolan.
The Bob Lazar doc from Jeremy?
Yes.
Tough competition
awesome.
Here.
Yeah, Jeremy's got his two big films, Skinwalker and Bob Lazar, but he's also got three shorts. Two of them are never be seen before Bob Lazar films. One of them is a George Knapp telling all regarding Skinwalker.
Oh, great.
And these are films that he probably won't make available in the future. At least he has no plans to.
That's great.
So this might be a one-time only shot to be able to see these things.
This is reason enough to go, I'll tell you.
Exactly. And that's free to see the films at the film festival. You can watch them all on Tuesday, like Karen said, or the top three in each category will be shown Thursday and Friday night. And that is free for anybody to come check out.
Awesome.
That's awesome. Well,
and then also on Thursday and Friday night, we really haven't talked or announced much about this. We're going to have live music too. So it's going to be a lot of fun. Yeah, Under the Stars on this patio on the fourth floor where you can look out to downtown Phoenix because we're in the heart of the city. So
is it true that you have the Star Wars house band from the bar? Is that true?
Maybe.
Maybe. You can't reveal that here.
Confirm or deny.
Okay.
But let's see what else. The experiencer sessions this year, they're going to be two different ones going at the same time. So they're smaller. So if you've been in the past and were a little bit annoyed that maybe you didn't get to talk or there was the same people talking over and over and taking up the whole time, now there's going to be less people in each group. So you get more individual, you know, time to
talk. That's a great idea.
And yeah, and you'll get to hear all, you'll get a session, at least one with each person. We have Kathleen Martin, who was the niece of Betty Hill, if everybody knows who Betty Hill is. And right. We have Rebecca Hardcastle. And the other one we have is Yvonne Smith, of course. She is, you know, they all do hypnotism regressions. So they're all well qualified to lead these groups. And you can get all seven of them, 7 hours for only $30.
And here's a quick hit, a couple quick hits, if you don't mind.
Oh, go for it.
So we talked about Richard Dolan. 2 years ago, he proposed to his wife, Tracy, at the International UFO Congress. In fact, at the UFO Congress Twitter and Facebook page, I just posted a picture of them freshly engaged.
No kidding. That's awesome.
And now, for the first time this year, they're both speaking at the Congress.
I was going to say, you know, his wife now speaks, and she's got amazing stuff. Yes. She does the Russell Tard
Remote viewing.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we'll have her.
Yeah. And she had a lot of experiences herself when she was a child. Yeah. So she's also a contactee. Really interesting person.
She'll be great.
And isn't that fascinating? Because Richard's such a real world guy and he's pretty skeptical.
Yeah.
You know, I think he's one of the strongest researchers because he is so skeptical. It's interesting that he ended up with someone who is an experiencer.
Yeah.
Well, he's kind of moving a little bit more towards.
He certainly is. He certainly is. Yeah.
But a couple other quick hits. Calvin Parker. We talked about these people with these incredible incredible alien experiences. And he was part of the famous Pascagoula event. He's only speaking for he decided to just do this year. So after the Congress, I'm not even sure if he's going to be doing any other events. And then he's going back to fishing because that's what he likes to do all day. And he's had to take a break from his fishing to talk about UFOs, and he wants to go back to that. And then you all probably have talked to Mark D'Antonio before. He's going to be sharing information he's never shared before.
Cool.
And this is a great one, James Fox. So we've all been waiting for years to hear about James Fox and
his
project we're working on. Finally, he's going to give us some insight and behind the scenes on this project. I've been helping, so I think I'm supposed to get a producer credit. But and he's done some amazing stuff. The people he's connected with this film are incredible. So people are not going to be disappointed with James Fox's revelations at the event.
It's awesome.
It's going to be a great, great conference.
Sounds like a lot of fun. So everybody come on out. Go to UFOCongress.com. Get your tickets. Come on out and raise
and
a little bit of
hell.
All right. Well, thank you guys so much. You guys are great. And thanks for doing what you do. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having us.
Yes. Thank you very much.
Of course.
And we also thank you guys for tuning in every week right here for Truth Be Told. Please subscribe to our YouTube channel. Go to our website, truthbetoldworldwide.com. Subscribe to our iHeart and podcast everywhere. They're pretty much everywhere. And thank you for listening to that. But until next time, this is Tony Sweet and Captain Ron for Truth Be Told. Take care of yourself.